This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back. It is exactly 8:49 a.m. This is News and Views on Salam Media. And it gives me great pleasure to be talking with the person of the year, alhamdulillah, none other than Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman. Assalamu alaikum to you. Congratulations being voted as the person of the year. And I think this should be internationally. I hope it is an international accolade.
Walaikum salam. Jazakallah. Thank you very much. Thanks for those kind words.
Well, you're doing amazing work. What can I say? Not only I, but a gazillion other people in South Africa and beyond do say that you should become the president of South Africa. But of course, you have indicated you're not interested in politics. But really, you, the caliber of person that can bring this country right. May Allah reward you. And hopefully, with enough pressure, you might just change your mind. But be that as it may, we're here to talk about another amazing achievement by Gift of the Givers. And this is regarding the upgrades to schools in KZN post the floods. And I know that I shouldn't be asking you this question. We need to hold government accountable. But what on earth happened to all of the monies promised to KZN post the insurrection and post the floods? We've heard or seen no progress in that regard.
Very difficult for me to answer that question. I'm not actually sure if the money came, to be honest. Okay. You know, and of course, the amount of things, to be fair to the government, the destruction was huge. If you have to take the amount of money required just to fix the roads, the infrastructure, the sewage and water systems, none of which actually have been done besides some of the roads, you know, the housing. So I really don't know if that funding came. There was always a discussion between national and provincial, between treasury and provincial, that the systems were allocated, the systems were followed, and money would be released and not released. So I'm not even actually sure that funds ever came to KZN or what portion of those funds came to KZN. Yes, some roads have been repaired. That's basically all. I mean, the water systems, they tried to fix up in Tonga. I think they made some progress with that. But other than that, in many areas, even right now, there's water shedding because the water pumps are not working properly. The distribution systems are not working. The management systems are not working. There's so potholes all over. Not many people have received homes. Homes have not been rebuilt. Hundreds of schools have been damaged. Clinics and hospitals have been damaged. None of those have been renovated.
Okay, I'm going to try and take that up with a politician and see what sort of answers we come up with. But for the purpose of this interview, you've indicated the dire state that not only KZN finds itself in post the insurrection and post the floods. We're having similar situations all around the country. Some of those are just due to outright neglect. Be that as it may, Imtiaz, why have you chosen, I mean, there's just so many other areas you could have decided to improve, but why this particular project, a Gift of the Givers, has spent probably over 40 million rand on school upgrades after the KZN floods? It must have said something to you, done something to you, spoken to you in a certain way that you decided to take on this project.
No, it's not. It's something that's directed by donors. Remember, when the floods took place, we had a huge campaign in KZN. We don't call people for money, but all corporates started calling us. And they would say, what are the decisive interventions? And we would say immediately, it's hot meals. It's a simple thing as hot meals, a mattress and a blanket, because they've got no homes. And they need sanitary packs and hygiene packs, you know. And then we would say, as some of them are going to their families or living with their friends, they need a food parcel that will sustain them and their family because they're staying with somebody else. And they had extra expense to their family. So let's give a food parcel. And then, of course, the water plants, where water was a problem, we put in 17 boreholes in Tonga, six in Hawick, then three in Escort, you know, six in Amzinto, and we still busy with a whole stack of them everywhere. So the boreholes was next. And then came rebuilding of houses, of a lot of people whose houses were damaged, severely damaged, and child-headed households. People living with many kids in a home. So in selected areas, we started rebuilding homes. And then hospitals needed some intervention. And in that phase, when the water got cut off, a lot of hospitals, clinics, and schools needed water. So bottled water was something else that we were doing. And then the schools that were affected, it does the big problems with the schools itself. And so the donor said, it's fine, do the infrastructure. You select the schools. So the selection was very easy. The schools started calling us, principals, management systems, the community leaders. People started calling us to see the schools. And then when the Department of Education knew that we were involved, they called us. They said, look, they got a list. They're not dictating to us what to do. If we can have a look, if we can help, we make our own judgment. We check, we decide what is the best. So we've got our own construction teams that work with us. We send them out with this big list and said, check all these areas out. And they said, okay, they came back. And our criteria is that no matter where you go to, there must be a strong teaching ethos. There must be a strong management system and strong support from the community. Otherwise, we're not interested in supporting something. The money will just disappear down the drain. So they went and they came back with a list. And they said, look, we need to do this, that, and the other. In some areas, the schools are totally non-functional. In other areas, all the kids are at home. They can't go back to school. They're going to spend the rest of the year at home. So they made it into small change, medium change, and large change. And a lot of schools needed what is called jetting. Jetting is cleaning stormwater drains. So they said if the flood comes, the rains come again, the schools won't get flooded if you clean the drains out thoroughly.
Wow.
So on that basis, they cleared out. And, and to cut a long story short, we selected schools that kids could not go back to. And we selected medium schools, those that needed jetting, and some that needed only a sewage system. Others needed toilets. Others needed a whole water plant replaced or the water system replaced. Some needed electrical work redone. Others needed ceilings run, doors, windows, that kind of stuff. And we took on 40 schools. And three or four were big ones that cost between $6 and $7 million each to repair. And two of those we opened up between Monday and Tuesday. And a few we opened last year. But your question is that it wasn't that we decided, okay, let's do KZN. Because of the structure, the donor said, help KZN.
So tell me, Imtiaz, are most or all of your upgrades, initiatives, etc., would it be absolutely as per the donor's request? Or are there also situations where you have the monies and you, as gift of the givers, then makes a decision as to what project you're going to undertake? And then also regarding overseas, when there's disasters abroad, and I know you've been involved there as well. Is that a call you make, or again, is it donor-driven?
Everything is donor-driven. It's their money. Yes, we have reserves. We have reserves. The thing is, we don't wait for donor money to start the intervention. Because disasters, by nature, you've got to respond within the hour. And, so donors will then see, and quite, it happens. The moment the disaster hits, we start getting calls from donors and from the media and saying, are you guys involved? What are you doing? How can we help? What must we do? And it was the same for the civil unrest. It was the same for the KZN floods. It was the same for the 2009 floods and even with COVID. But before we could say anything, we started getting the calls. What do you need and how much do you need? And where are we? What are we doing? What's your program? What's your plan of action? What must we support? So we spend more time giving them a protocol or a blueprint of what we're going to do. And they said, yes, we're ready, let's go with it. International disasters, the announcement is made. We say we're getting involved, we're getting teams ready. And immediately people start calling and say, look, we want to get involved, we want to do something.
Okay, alhamdulillah, it's just unbelievable what Gift of the Givers has managed to achieve thus far. What are your future projects for 2023? There's lots of attention that's needed all around the country in many different fields. So what are we looking at now?
Well, we're motivating donors. Look, disasters is ongoing, so that's something we can't plan for. We'll keep responding. We closed on 23rd December, our offices. 24th, we had a big tanker explosion in Boxburg. I had to bring my staff back. And then the Cape Town staff, a few days later, had to come back to work. There were 8 fires in Cape Town, And then now there's crisis in Kakamas with the drought and the high temperatures, where 8 people died already from dehydration. In parts of Adelaide, Alice, Fort Beaufort, in that area, because of load shedding, the water systems are not working properly. So we're putting truck in tanker after tanker, delivering close to 150,000 liters of water per day to several communities. That excludes money, water that we take out of our boreholes. So these are all the challenges that go on every day. But in terms of support, broad categories, We want to do as many schools as possible. When I say we want to do schools, it means infrastructure upgrade, toilets, sporting facilities, and boreholes. Those are the four important interventions in schools, besides uniforms, stationery, and, you know, supporting feeding schemes, because there's a lot of hunger in school children in South Africa. In terms of health, again, infrastructure, a lot of hospitals require infrastructure. The second thing, big demand is on catch-up surgery. So some cases of patients are waiting between up to 6 and 7 years for an operation in various categories. That's the second one. The third big one in health, we want to get support to fund registrars. Registrar posts are cut. Registrars become specialists. Registrars train the doctors below them. If there's no registrars, there's no specialists, there's no teaching downwards, and there's decreased quality of healthcare. We want to see if we can fund 500 registrars over a four-year period, and this is what we're talking to corporates about. Then boreholes in the different communities throughout the country, there's a big requirement. Those three are already major interventions: schools, hospitals, and boreholes. And the other one, which is not people-related, is animal-related. There's a lots of animals dying or hungry, or they can't be grown for the farmers because there's no fodder or no water or not enough finance to pay for either. And we're supporting fodder in a big way, with 45 pellets, to try to support as many farmers so the animals can survive, so the economy can grow, the GDP can grow, jobs are not lost, and income in those areas can grow.
Inshallah, Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, guide you, and your amazing team to continue doing all of these, to complete all of these projects and much, much more. I'm just wondering, you know, you speak a lot about boreholes. We know there are other aid agencies in the country that also have a big focus on boreholes. Do you guys ever work in collaboration with each other, or do you work totally independently?
I work independently because I've got my own teams, you know, and our boreholes are very expensive. They could run anything from 200,000 to 500,000. And these, you know, are dependent on and we go very deeply rural. It's dependent. We use top-class geologists, hydrologists. We look at the rock formation.
Okay.
We study the aquifer. We look at, the type of, whether they require water filtration plants, whether they require solar or windmill, electrical distancing, you know, from the electrical supply, but I mean, that's useless now. You're going to need to put solar pumps, you know, we have to go back with solar panels to all our boreholes. How far from the community, the type of pipes, the yield test, how much water we produce, how much you must, when I say the yield test, it tells you, okay, the aquifer is refilling at 8,000 liters per hour, which means you must use less than that, 6,000 to 5,000 liters an hour, so you don't drain the bore. So we do the testing, you know, repeat testing, JoJo tanks, putting slabs, putting taps on the outside. So it could run anything from 300,000 to 500,000 or beyond, but our boreholes never, ever give trouble after that.
Alhamdulillah. Really and truly amazing. Just before I wrap up, and this is, I digress here, but, and I probably should be talking, initially I raised the issue about government and funding, so I need to talk to a politician or a government official. I guess this next question should also be asked of an organization like OCAF. But I'm wondering, you know, there's the South African Muslim community is so rich in resources, financial and otherwise. Have you ever had talks with any of these people about possibly the Muslim community building schools in the country? And a university or universities, because that's truly needed as well, apart from relief that you guys are doing on a very big scale.
Unless you got guaranteed funding with investments, those are not practical, because the maintenance cost of those things run in the hundreds of millions. Now, a small community that's taking care of so many people, families, doing charity locally and internationally, doing the bit locally to help as much as they can. You're asking for a huge task. You need large volumes of people, because remember, although there is money, it's not a large sector of the community that has that amount of money. It's a very small sector. And they take care of madrasas, they take care of mosques, of imams, of, you know, teachers, food parcels. A few people are taking care of a lot of things. The moment you introduce a university and a hospital, you're talking hospital alone 300 to 400 million just to set it up, and depends what kind of hospital you're setting up. And then what about the maintenance cost every month? You know, it's a very expensive business. And you're talking about a public service hospital, it's impossible the cost it would be, you know, to maintain in the medical care, the hospital, the nurses. Then you have a shortage of nurses to bring extra nurses at a higher rate. It's too expensive. It can only be done in a rich country, you know, where it's driven by the state. And if you want to do it in your own way, then it's a private hospital, so it defeats the purpose. You know, you're not going to get help the people who need it most. So it's no different from any other private hospital. But as a public hospital run by individuals and a community, it's impossible.
Okay. Who knows? It still might come to pass in the future, inshallah. With your determination and your energy, anything is possible, inshallah. Shukran very much for talking to us. And once again, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your efforts, yours and the teams, and of course, all of the donors. Go well. Thank you once again for talking with us on the show this morning.
Thank you. Shukran. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.
That was Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman from Gift of the Givers talking about the current project that they've just completed, and that was 40 million rand spent on upgrading schools in KZN. Spoke about current and future projects, and gosh, it's just amazing what this man has achieved in in the time that he started up this organization. The mind boggles, and he deservedly has been awarded Person of the Year. He should be awarded Person of this century, inshallah. May we see many, many more Imtiaz Suleimans coming to the fore, inshallah. It is exactly 9:05. News and views right here on Salaam Media. Standing by with the news bulletin of the morning is our correspondent, Zahid Jadwit. We'll talk to him in a minute or two, inshallah.